Please join me in the call to worship. The power of dreams lies in waking up, for when we close our eyes, we can see a better world. When we close our eyes, we can dream a better dream. But when we open our eyes, we begin the work of faith. The power of worship is the same. When we enter this space, we can see a better world. When we enter this space, we dream a better dream. But when we leave this space, we begin the work of faith. So come in, dream your dream, find hope here. For when we leave, we will begin the work of faith. Let it be so.
This is the first week of Advent. Today we light the first candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of hope. This candle reminds us that hope is the very thing that keeps dreams afloat. May the light of this first candle be an invitation to keep awake, to be Advent people filled with the hope we know in Jesus Christ. I invite you now to stand as you are able to sing hymn number 9, O Come, Emmanuel.
Seated. In the midst of turbulent times, we can get off kilter and forget how to live each day with love and meaning. We can confess when we are down and discouraged because God meets us where we are. Let us bring to God what we need to say. Original dreamer, over and over again in Scripture, we hear your dream for a beautiful world. We hear your dream for peace and reconciliation. We hear your dream for harmony and togetherness. We hear your dream for community and hope. We hear your dreams, and yet we do not open our eyes. We continue to live with the curtains drawn, the covers pulled tight, eyes shut to the realities of the world. Forgive us. Kindle a hope in us that will burn through the darkest nights. Give us the strength and the will to keep awake in this sleeping world. With hope we pray. Amen. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. The God who brought dreams to the world still walks with us today. We who need hope to find it in God, we are forgiven for our sins and freed to live into hope. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Christ be with you and also with you. Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those who are worshiping nearby.
Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro on this first Sunday of Advent. The seasons have turned. You can see we have blue all around. And my name is Renee Rico, and I welcome you to worship here. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. We invite you to join us after the service. We've got something special I'll mention in a moment. If you're in the pews, you can go ahead and take one of those pew pads. Feel free to fill it out. If we have your info, you can just leave us your name. If you don't and you want to leave us more information, if you'd like us to get in touch with you, please feel free to fill out more of it. You can pass that along the pews so that those nearby can see, learn your name and greet you. So today we have crafts and casseroles. We have, next week we have carols. Today we have casseroles. Janine Klein and her team are making some tasty food for you to enjoy through these doors in Fellowship Hall. And it's also set up for a number of Advent and Christmas crafts. I think there are six of them, Lou. So there's all kinds of different kinds of crafts, and we invite you to partake of one or many as you wish. As we begin to enjoy this holiday season. It is the 1st of December, and we do have a Advent devotional. Those are free for the taking in Fellowship Hall on one of the tables, and we invite you to take one and read some reflections from the writings of a noted Christian author, Henry Nouwen, from the 20th century. It is also another Sunday in which you are able to order poinsettias. We will be gradually filling this space up with decorations as we move toward Christmas. If you'd like to purchase a poinsettia, they're $25, and you can pay at a table here or turn them into the church office. At the end of your bulletin today, you'll note that there's something about charitable giving. If God has blessed you with retirement funds, one of the ways you can give to the church and not pay taxes is through giving out of your retirement funds. And Don Yee is going to be in the library. He can give you a more detailed flyer and explain that process. But I think even I think the IRS is cool with this. We're not violating any laws. But if you want to give money to the church and not pay taxes, you can explore that with Don. Next Sunday, we have a busy weekend. On Saturday, we have the White Elephant Party at Don and Linda Pollard's. You're just invited to bring a white elephant gift and an appetizer. They will take care of the rest, and hilarity will ensue. So we are we're looking forward to that. And after worship next Sunday, we will have another Advent celebration. We're going to have carols and cocoa. And so we need all of the singers to come, and we will enjoy singing some Christmas carols and a variety of cocos, probably, or toppings or whatever. So later in the month, we have a couple of more opportunities to gather. Young at Heart, which is our Thursday luncheon event, is going to be the second Sunday in December. We're testing your memory. You can sign up, and it's for $5. You get an amazing meal, and we are going to be blessed by the Notables, which is the high school singing group here in San Leandro. It's going to give us a concert, so we invite you to sign up for that. And then the Heart to Heart, we got a lot of hearts. Heart to Heart, which is our women's program, will be on the third Sunday in December, and you're third Thursday, and you're invited to bring an appetizer and a Christmas memory to that. I think that's it. And so I'd invite Don Atkinson Adams here forward for our scripture.
The prayer for illumination today is, O great dreamer, you dreamed up the stars in the sky. You dreamed up that magic baby smell and the way cream sinks into coffee. You dreamed up the crunch of fall leaves and jazz music. You dreamed up wisteria and evergreen and the pure magic that is a 6-foot-tall sunflower. And in the midst of all that, you dreamed up a dream for your people, a dream of hope and justice, a dream for eyes wide open to both the world's suffering and the world's beauty. So today, as we read scripture, we ask that you would plant that same dream in us. Pour out your spirit on our hearts and minds so that we may see what you see and dream what you dream. Gratefully, we pray. The reading today is from Isaiah 64, 1 through 9. That's page 1161 in your Pew Bible. This is a different version than what you have. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people.
Our second scripture today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 37, and it can be found on page 1578 in your pew Bible. This passage is called by biblical scholars the Little Apocalypse, because it talks about what might happen if the Messiah were to return to the earth. And the author seems to be concerned with challenging people who seem to be complacent. And this second coming that is predicted is not something that we simply subscribe to because our creeds tell us to. It is an invitation to embrace it as a defining reality that embraces our faith and lives. And so it is an important way of getting engaged emotionally in our faith. And so Mark relies on metaphor and imaginative imagery and paradox. It's not a literal prediction. And in the end, this emphasis seems to be on balancing the fact that we do not know the time or place of this event, but it pairs that with an absolute assurance that the end will ultimately come. So here now, Mark's vision. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now, learn this lesson up from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. And so truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and he puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we begin our Advent season with a new worship series called Those Who Dream. The Bible itself is filled with such dreamers, those who have spiritual dreams as messengers from God and the kind of dreamers who yearn for a more loving and just world. In our next few weeks over Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, we will look at the dreamers like the psalmist, like John the Baptist, like the prophet Isaiah, Mary and Elizabeth, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna, as well as outsiders like the shepherds and the magi. And we hope that this series will help us all, those of us who feel each day is a bit of a dreamlike state, for those of us who yearn for a deeper connection to God and those of us who dream for a better world. A few years ago now, a study came out that was a study of Americans' life expectancy. And the results of that were challenging to hear. It showed that life expectancy in these United States was going down and not up for the first time in history. And the decline was particularly focused on one segment of the population, white Americans. And as they studied more deeply, they learned that it was because of drug and alcohol-related deaths. And the intervening years have not changed that much. It is still our present reality. And I think that those kind of deaths are basically deaths of despair. And so as we think about that, we also know that there are a lot of people who experience despair in our culture. You know, the kind of despair when you read a news article that describes a new cruelty to a part of our population, whether it's around proposed new cuts to safety net programs that sustain our elders and poorest among us, or hateful speech to marginal populations, or increased hostility that people of various subgroups are experiencing. Just a couple of examples. And then we have that sick sin in our culture of gun violence that infects every part of our population. Despair of these kinds, I think, are related. I think they challenge us, do they not? Because they seem overwhelming, and they seem, perhaps, with solutions that people are not willing to entertain. They seem to predict more despair, and a cycling of despair can lead to isolation and inaction. But our words today are words of hope. Our text from Isaiah is what some scholars determine at the time was after the end of the exile of the Hebrew people. Those of you who know the history know that the people in Jerusalem and the surrounding Judean countryside were moved up to Babylon when that empire took over, and then they were able to return under a new empire. And so as they returned, the initial excitement of returning from exile has worn off, and now the people are struggling in their return. They realize the depths of the rebuilding ahead of them and the depths of the sin that had caused them to be carted off and how God has acted as a result. Imagine living in the middle of a ruins of a city. And so this passage of lamentation, of expressing their grief or sorrow, is a perfectly natural one, given their circumstances. And we know these kinds of grief and sorrow, do we not, for ourselves and for those that we love? We, you know, hope for those who in our midst are falling prey to forces of addiction or temptation, and they have to then experience the results of that. And then we're challenged, as God is. What does it mean to love someone in the middle of this? We want the best for them. We love them. And yet it seems, perhaps, like that's an impossible task. You know, at times we decide to throw ourselves into the fray, do we not? Not knowing if it's going to make a lick of difference, but knowing that at least we tried. I think this is kinds of feelings must be how God feels about us a lot of the time. Looking into the history of God and God's people, it's easy to see the times when God's people have managed to miss the point, head off target, or willfully choose another way. God also sees when people are subject to horrific things that are not of their own making. God seems to have this love that keeps calling us, trying always to find a way to get to us, to penetrate shocked bodies, dull minds, hard hearts, and distracted and distressed lives full of things that don't satisfy. The Bible's language of lamentation is a way in which we are invited to bear our burdens together as a community. And it is in the sharing of those burdens to God and each other that we can find the balm that will heal us. We're invited to become vulnerable to one another. And in doing so, then the healing can multiply. Turning to our other text today, it mirrors times that we are experiencing today. Mark's call to be awake is also set in time where things are challenging. In the preceding scriptures, Mark has told of a time when false prophets and messiahs produce signs and omens that are going to lead the people astray. And since Scholars believe that this collected work of Mark was written in a time or just after a war that would destroy Jerusalem. It's clear that it was written for people who are in upheaval. And we know, by observational fact, we are still living in that kind of world that Mark describes. We know we can be a part of the world's cataclysms, the pandemics, earthquakes, fires, persecutions, natural disaster, and civil unrest can be at our doorstep, just as they can be in any country. And these words were written for people who had already lived through these times, a testament, perhaps, to their own faithfulness in times of trial, and also a warning that perhaps they have not yet ended. The question implied by the passage is how to remain hopeful in a world that desperately needs hope to live into the future. And so this gospel text is not written just for a few, but for the whole world. You know, it's easier to have a theology that lets us off the hook, that says, God will let this go. It's only going to save a remnant. And that kind of theology lets the believer find ways to live for themselves and their own, not for the world. The left behind notion is basically like that TV show Survivor, you know, and it's better left to reality TV than Christian community. I did know a Presbyterian pastor, and his, you know, looking at this with a little more humor, said, you know, to those who believed in the rapture, if you go up to heaven, can I have your stuff? But that's not where we're at. And that's not where Mark is at. Because new hope comes in many ways, and the greatest of hope often comes piercing through when times are bleak. And I believe the world today is looking for that hope in action, looking for ways in which people are operating in an attitude of hope, in the expectation of things getting better. You know, we do that in many ways here at First Presbyterian. We have prayer support for the sick and worried, elders provided with educational and social opportunities. When we give food to those in need at Davis Food Pantry and the Women's Shelter and April Showers, we are showing a way forward for a better world. When we give money to support refugees and other mission projects to people we do not know, we are making a gift of hope to those who receive it. You know, if the Christmas story is thought of as applying only to ideal situations and ideal people, then that is not good news. The good news is that Christ comes into our very imperfect lives, into the dark and deep corners of our country, and one of the wealthiest on earth. You know, we too still experience loss. We lose family members to death, illness, relocations, or cutoffs. Our jobs can disappear to parts unknown. And we experience them just like everybody else. And sometimes we are both the perpetrators and the victims. But here is where the invitation comes from Mark. We stay awake for hope. It is part of our dreams. And I do know that there are things that we can do. We can raise our heads and we can look at the sun while keeping our hearts moving forward. And the reason is that even though bad things happen to good people, we, like Mark, trust that God is still in charge. We, like the prophet Isaiah, know that we are God's people. He is the potter and we are the clay. And God is moving forward, even in our midst. Again and again in Scripture, God uses the darkness to kindle the light, and God transforms the tomb of death into the tomb of life. So, in the meantime, we are invited to turn to Jesus, to learn how to live in this darkness, how to wait, how to stay alert, how to live moral and disciplined lives in preparation for the moment when we will be needed to bring creation to completion. And so the world is truly pregnant with this possibility. And as people of God, for better or worse, we are the ones who bear Christ's hope for the world. And so how do we look for this hope? Where do we find it? Let me tell you a story. There once was a wise teacher, and a crowd had gathered around him to hear him teach. And instead, he asked them a question. He said, "Tell me, when you're waiting and watching for the morning to come, how can you tell when night has passed and day has come?" The crowd thought hard, and one man said, "I think it's when you look in the distant hills and tell whether the animal you can see there is a sheep or a dog." "That's a good answer, but not the one I was thinking of," said the teacher. Another man said, "Well, then, perhaps it's when you can look at a distant tree and tell whether it is a palm tree or a fig tree." "Another good answer, but not the one I was looking for." "Well," the crowd said, "what is the answer then? How can we tell when night has passed and the day has come?" "You can tell when the night has passed," said the teacher, "when you can look into the eyes of the person next to you and see that they are your brother and sister. Because if you can't see that they are your brother or sister, then the night will never pass, and the darkness will never give way to light." And so this year, I encourage you to look each other in the eye and see your brothers and sisters, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And by that, know that we can be dreamers who know that the darkness will give way to light. So because we can dream, I have hope. And why do I have hope? Because it is an excellent time to be the church. Because what do we offer? What are the capabilities that we can offer a world that is feeling despairing? You know, we can provide community. Community with each other, to see each other as brothers and sisters. We can provide healing for people who are lonely, who are grieving, who need the comfort of a community around them. We can provide radical inclusion. Even addicts and other screw-ups, and of course, people of every skin color, nationality, orientation, ability, gender, and language. And we can provide authenticity, where we are freed to tell the truth without apology. That's what I think it means to have hope and to keep awake. So here's my invitation: to remember that God came down to earth to personally show us how to be the church and count ourselves as those who dream. Let's pay attention out there. Every day, God is revealing new people to love. Amen. So, friends, I invite you to turn to page 5 in your bulletin and to stand as you wish as we declare together the creeds of the church, the Apostles' Creed. Let us say together, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
As we begin the Advent season, we remember that God has done great things for us, and we choose to live our lives in hope, counting on the goodness of God in every age. As a sign of our trust in God and our hope for what is to come, we offer this morning our gifts to God. These gifts are not wrapped in pretty paper or tied up in bows. They are not placed under a tree. No, these gifts are placed in a plain wood box in the narthex, electronically transferred or mailed to the church. And they are only a portion of the gifts that God has already given to each of us. These gifts are given to strengthen the ministry of this church as we seek to extend hope to each other, to our community, and to the world. Holy One, this Advent season, we wait in hope. We give in hope. Hope for your coming reign. Hope because of your presence with us, even now. Receive these gifts, our tithes and our offerings, and use them for your work of healing and hope in our church, in our community, and in our world. Amen.
Seated. Friends, as we gather for the sacrament, a reminder that all are welcome. It is true at this table that every time we gather, we tell similar stories. The story of a prophet who reminded his people they could share their dreams of a home. The story of a young woman whose life will be changed by the visitation of an angel. The story of a righteous man who makes a key decision about his family from a dream. This is also the story of a Messiah who gathered with friends together for one last supper. The story of a Messiah who loved us so much he couldn't stay away. So friends, bring the parts of you that feel despair. Bring the parts of you that are aching to hear these stories of hope again. Because this is good news for you. Let us pray. Author of our lives, we admit there is something so marvelous and wonderful about this season of expectation. The story of Jesus' birth with its challenges and joys. The characters of the story who had to overcome fears and be willing to see what new thing God was doing in the middle of them. They remembered the stories of generations before them as we remember their stories now. Stories of faithful following, resulting in very good news. We don't want to bottle up the magic of this season. We want to share it.
We want to pour your good news over all this community. We want to follow as Mary did until all who are looking for you have found their way home. So help us live unafraid to go and tell the good news. Help us take the words of the angel to heart, to not be afraid. Help us to be as trusting in our gut and in you. But more than anything, give us the courage and conviction to tell this story. In a hurting world so desperate for hope, we have something to say. Joy and hope are all in the air, so thick we could almost bottle it up. But we don't want to bottle up this feeling, we want to share it. So pour out your spirit on the table and into the elements we will take. Strengthen us from the inside out. Amen. It was on the night when he would be arrested, sitting at table with those who followed him, that he took this bread. And he blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." And in a similar way, after supper, he took the cup and he poured it out, saying, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant. This cup is the blood of forgiveness of sins. Do this to remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth signs of God's kingdom, which is breaking into this world." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. I invite our servers to come forward.
Let us pray.
Having taken the bread and cup, we know you are here. For where two or more are gathered, you are there. We bow our heads today, hoping to catch a glimpse or a shimmer of you. We know that you are here with us, just as you walked with every generation before. So we bring you our prayers. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for seeing our scattered thoughts, our imposter syndrome, our fragments of doubt, and still saying, come on in. Thank you for seeing our ordinary selves with anxious concerns and unflattering habits, saying, I have bigger plans for you. Thank you for seeing our fragile egos and our uncertain relationships and saying, you still belong here. Your expansive love makes room for us to breathe, and we want to love with our lungs and hearts full. So we pray today, teach us how to make that same room for others. When we come face to face with stories that are different from ours, show us how to add chairs to the table. And when we find ourselves face to face with stories that frustrate and test our patience, show us how to build bridges instead of walls. When you find ourselves face to face with stories that feel foreign or unrelatable, remind us to open the door and to listen carefully. From Abraham to Mary, for all the dreamers for a new world, you have made room for every story, and that love continues to make room for us. Teach us to do the same for our neighbor, so that this world will know our love. And friends, I now invite you to stand as you wish, using the pew card in the pews as we sing together the Lord's Prayer. Standing for our closing hymn, number 13, Prepare the Way. So friends, go. Go with the deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth, and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.